Well, let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 55. We are continuing from where we left off last time, and so we begin at verse 12 in Psalm 55, verses 12 to 18. Well, let's read some verses in Paul's second letter to Timothy. And the chapter 3, beginning at verse 10 to the end of the chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, these well-known words: "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience or endurance, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God," or the outbreathing of God, not inspiration, but expiration, in a sense, breathed out, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let us pray, shall we? Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we are reminded in the Scriptures of the nature of Scripture itself, of its purpose, of its origin, of its uniqueness, of its ultimate authority and finality, its infallibility, its accuracy, its unity, its ability to make us wise unto salvation, not simply by giving information, but bringing a new life and enabling us to walk in the ways of the Word of God written in the Scripture. And we recognize from the Scripture, O God, that this writing is the only writing inspired by God, all of it equally God-given, all of it equally authoritative and final and accurate on the topics that it deals with, and all of it meant to be appreciated and applied by us. As we think about these things, we are reminded of many things that the Scripture says, not only about itself, but about us and about the world and about history and about prophecy, about Israel and about the Gentiles, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the nature of prophecy, about the certainty of fulfillment of prophecy, of the accuracy of the history of Israel, and the history of the Gospels that we read of about Christ Jesus. We are reminded also, O God, that the apostles accurately interpreted and wrote down the heart of the Gospel. We are reminded by the Scriptures that the prophets were writing not out of their own ideas or interpretations of the past or the present or the future, but of that revelation that God gave to them concerning the past, the present, and the future. And in all things we find the Scripture making claims, making stupendous claims. And we are faced with these claims when we read the Word. And we know that there are multitudes who do not believe what the Scripture says. But we know also that God's people will receive with meekness this engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And we are glad this evening, O God, to have the Scriptures open before us. And as we gather once again with this privilege presented to us, help us, we pray, to remember those multitudes of believers, even tonight, who do not have the Scriptures in their entirety, or perhaps even in part, and they share portions, and perhaps in their imprisonments or in their isolation, they have no access to the Word. But we know that the Holy Spirit can bring the Word of God to their hearts also, through things that they have learned and heard in the past, bringing it to their minds for emergency times. And so we know that the Scripture is not only written in the pages of a book, but written in the hearts of God's children also. And while it is a great mystery to us how the Word of God works, we know that in the Word there is the power of God unto salvation and unto sanctification also to those who believe. And we know from our own experience how many times, like the psalmist says of old, that God's word has been the consolation in the days of his pilgrimage and in the courts of his enemies. And that word has been to us as to them, a light to our path, a lamp unto our feet, shedding our way, pointing us and encouraging us, not only showing the way, but making us glad to walk in it. And so this evening we come again to consider the Scriptures. And we pray that we would submit ourselves, that we would submit our intellect to the teaching written down in these holy books, that we would submit our lives, the emotional side of our life, the choices that we make, the things we look at, the things we do not look at, that we would be remembering always, what does the Scripture say concerning so many things, everything in life covered by the Scriptures, every experience that is a word for us, every doctrine that we need to know is written down for our learning, every hope that we need to entertain is included that we might learn it, and every warning that we need to pay heed to is also written there for our perusal and for our acceptance. So we're glad, Heavenly Father, that God has spoken, and spoken finally, in many ways speaking to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, our days, the days in the days of Christ, for 2,000 years God has spoken to us through his Son. And so we pray that we would remember that Christ is the key to the Scripture. He is the supreme prophet. He is the supreme fulfillment. And so we look again unto Jesus and we listen to what he says about the Scripture. And we would listen again to what the Scripture says about him. For God's glory we pray, and for our good we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let us read once again in the second letter of Peter. And we're looking at chapter 1 in 2 Peter. We shall read through this chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto us, unto you, abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it suitable or right, something befitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up to by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, tent, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or any private production, man's opinion on things. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We shall continue to sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm 55 and the last verses of the Psalm 19 to 23.
Destruction's done.